Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane. He said to them, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him. He began to be sad and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is very sad. I feel close to death. Stay here, keep watch with me." He went a little farther. Then he fell with his face to the ground. He prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, take this cup of suffering away from me. But let what you want be done, not what I want." Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. "Couldn't you men keep watch with me for 1 hour?" he asked Peter. "Watch and pray, then you won't fall into sin when you are tempted. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Sam. And sorry, I forgot to do the announcements before, so I was kind of wondering what was happening. There's lots going on in our church as we're really starting a new year, and so we encourage you to check in the bulletin and talk to the Information Center. I'd just like to encourage you that church is a family, and it's a people to be involved in, and find a way to do that, and you will be blessed in doing so. I'd like to invite Pastor John Gurnett to come forward, and he's going to be sharing God's word with us. Most of you have met Pastor John by now, as he is pastor of Joy Fellowship, one of their pastors, along with David. And they are a church for people of all abilities that meets in our church in the afternoon. And we've really enjoyed hearing from John and Dave this summer as some of our pastors have taken vacation time, etc. Well, all of us, I guess. But let's bow and pray before we hear God's word. Lord, I thank you for your word and that you show us yourself in your word. We ask that you would open the eyes of our hearts, that we would see you and see your great love for us this morning. And I ask that you would bless John as he shares your word, that he would have joy and freedom in your Holy Spirit to share with us the things that you have put on his heart. Oh, Lord, give us ears to hear what you would say to your church this morning. And it's in Jesus that we ask this. Amen.
I spent the first service looking out to see my sister. She's visiting her daughter in town because her daughter's having a baby. And I was looking for my big sister, Ruth, and she didn't show up. But I just got a text message in between the services saying that my great-nephew Seth had been born. So I'm pretty happy about that. So. You know, at Joy Fellowship, I've developed a few running jokes with some of our people there. And one that always, always gets our people to laugh is pretending that I don't believe in the SkyTrain. Yeah. I say, "Come on, do you really expect me to believe there is a train in the sky? Or how about this thing you talk about, the sea bus? If you have a sea bus..." I don't believe that. So the lesson I'm trying to teach them when I talk about that little joke is that sometimes two ideas that seem like opposites, that seem like they can't go together, really can go together. And that's a little bit of what I've been thinking about this weekend's holiday. It's called Labor Day, but we get a day off of work. Shouldn't it properly be called Sleep In Late and Then Go to Buy Those Last Few School Supplies Day? I think that, you know, maybe we could call it lazy day. Yeah. But then, when I thought about it a bit more and remembered when I was a child, it was also always the last day. I didn't grow up in Vancouver, and so, you know, in the rest of Canada, we have winter, right? And so this is the beginning of fall, and so it was the last day of summer, the last day for yard work, mowing and trimming and putting away all the summer equipment. So I guess it probably is a Labor Day. It certainly, I felt like it was Labor Day when I was a child, that it was hard work. Labor Day for lots of us. Anyways, all of that has got me thinking about working and resting. Because today's service didn't happen without a bunch of work, right? This service right happening right now, there was a lot of work to make sure it could happen. And I'm not talking about the hours of practice and preparing that the worship team puts in. And I don't mean all the other work that it takes to keep a church running, the janitorial, cleaning up around here, and administrative, making sure things are happening. There's a bulletin that shows up every week. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about promotional, all the work that the information center is doing to let us know about what's happening. I'm not talking about any of all that work. And I'm not even talking about the work to get these elements ready for this service today. Well, not cutting the bread, but, you know, getting it, counting out the little wafers or the crackers of bread and filling those little tiny glasses. That takes a lot of work, right? Got to fill them all bit by bit by bit. All of those things are important and vital. They are. They're all key to having a church happen. But they are not the work that I'm talking about that had to happen for this service to happen today. No, I'm talking about the great work that Jesus did to give meaning to those elements that are there. The little piece of bread we each will take is a reminder that Jesus gave up his body for us. In fact, it's also a reminder that he first gave up heaven to take on that body. He lived for 30 or so years, and then he chose to die. He allowed people, just like you and I, to beat and torture his body. Finally, they placed him on a cross to die. In incredible agony, he hung there as they mocked him. And in a mysterious way, at the same time, God the Father chose to put our sin on his shoulders. He became the sacrificial lamb for us. The sip of juice that we're going to share is a picture of Jesus' blood poured out for us. In a strange reversal of the normal way things work, blood became a kind of bleach that washed the stain of our sin from us. And we also know that the blood means life. The book of Leviticus tells us that life is in the blood. I even once read that all deaths eventually come down to a lack of blood flow to the brain. And his blood was spilled out on the ground as he gave his life for each of us. And that's the meaning of those elements. But why do I claim that it was work for Jesus to give them that meaning? It's because when I read the story of his sacrifice, I recognize someone who is not looking forward to a tough day of work. We've all felt that way at some time, right? Maybe a big work deadline is coming up, or people at your work are causing you to grief, and you just don't want to be in your workplace. How do you feel when that happens? Does it sound a bit like this? Is there anything that can be done to avoid this task? I guess I have to do it, so I will. I'm so sad. I feel like dying. But those are only slightly paraphrased versions of how Jesus spoke to his Father before facing his great work. He did not look to the cross with great joy. Luke records that as he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, his sweat was dripping like drops of blood to the ground. But the fact is, despite not looking forward to it, he went ahead and did his job. In the garden, he allowed people to lay hands on him and take him away. He accepted the beating and the mockery of a fake trial. He dragged his weary body through the streets of Jerusalem. At the hill outside the city gates, we nailed him to the cross. I don't know if you've ever heard it before, but someone once said, it wasn't the nails that held him there on the cross. It was his love for me and you. I'd add that it was his dedication to finish the job that kept him there. If he had not completed the difficult task of dying for us, we would have no hope. But he did complete his labor on our behalf. I love that one of the last things he said before dying was, finished. He meant that the whole task of our salvation had been completed. Isaiah even tells us that he looks on the result of his suffering. We're the result of his suffering. He looks on us and is satisfied. Hebrews says, for this joy ahead of him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. And that changed everything. Before that, the best we could do was to try to follow the law as best we could. After he completed his great work for us, our job radically changed. Before, our only hope of heaven was to be even better at keeping the laws than the Pharisees were. But after, our job is just to accept this gift, the great gift of salvation he's given us. And sometimes when I'm preaching this sermon, this basic idea, I stop right there. And that's a good place to stop, right? Because it's the gospel story, and it's good to be reminded that we really have nothing to do but accept the gift, this great gift of love he's given us. Good place to stop. But this is Labor Day, and just like I realized that there are two ideas behind the holiday, both resting and laboring, there is still a little more to be said. And I think that the great theologian Robert Zimmerman, get him there, may have said it best. In describing the great finished work of Jesus, he said, you've done it all for me, and there's no more anyone can pretend to do. You have done it all for me, there's no more that anyone can pretend to do. And he goes on, though, to say, what can I do for you? Those two things don't go together, right? They're like a sea bus or a sky train. It's not possible for God to have done everything for us and for us to also say, what can I do for you? But that's the truth. God has done it all. Jesus did it all. This service today reminds us that he's done it all for us. And there's no more that anyone can pretend to do. And then we say, what can I do for you, Lord Jesus? God truly has completed our salvation. As a result of that, though, we ask him what we can do for him. There really is nothing we can do to be worthy of salvation. But now we get to work anyways, serving, loving, worshiping, following, trusting, obeying, even remembering what he has done for us. It's all part of our response to the great gift of life he has given us.